Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. Welcome back, everyone, and thank you for listening today. As I was coming up with topic ideas, I have a lot on my list, but I'm a little short on time this week. And I needed to do something that wouldn't require a ton of research or preparation on my end. And so this idea came to me. We're going to dive into some of the basic pitfalls and mistakes, if you will, that I see people make when they first start getting into the world of peptides, because it is like the Wild West out there, right? There's so much information. It's overwhelming. You don't know where to start. And my husband often reminds me that I have been in this space for a long time now, and I forget that most of you have not. And so another thing that prompted this is the amount of questions that I've been getting about just the basic concepts of starting peptides. Like I said, I want to talk about some of the biggest mistakes, the pitfalls, if you will, that I see people make in the beginning, and some of the tools and things that you'll need to get started. And hopefully this will give you a good foundation of the right way to do these things, okay? So we're just gonna dive in. One of the things that I have to stress is that everything that I discuss about peptides, whether it's here on the podcast or if it's on my Instagram, or wherever you're getting your information, if it's from me, it's backed by a lot of research on my end, but it's particularly the things that have worked for me. And the thing about peptides is it's not a one-size-fits-all. As much as I want you to listen and as much as I think you'll get some great takeaways for today, the biggest takeaway that I want you to leave with after listening to this episode is that you have to be responsible for doing your own research, okay? So we're going to talk about that theme throughout this entire episode. But before we get started, especially if you're new, let's go back to the very basics. What are peptides? Peptides are short chains of amino acids that act like these little messengers in our body. They influence everything from fat loss, skin health, healing, energy, libido, cognitive function, you name it. That's why they're so magical, okay? But I say they're magical. They aren't magic pills. They're tools. And just like any tool, how you use them matters. So that's why I want to talk about some of these basic concepts, okay? So they can be magical if used in the right way. So let's go through some of the most common mistakes that either I've made or in working with people that I've worked through some of those mistakes with them. One of the big ones is not starting out with a very clear goal. Because you start reading about these peptides and you learn all the amazing things that they do, you want to dive in and you just, oh, I heard about this one on TikTok, or I heard about this one on Instagram. And so you want to start using one of these amazing peptides, but you don't really know why you're using it. You can't have the, let me just try this and see what happens mentality. Okay, that's the wrong move. You need an actual goal. Are you trying to lose fat? Are you trying to improve sleep? Do you want to boost collagen? Do you need to heal your gut? That goal will determine which peptide is right for you, how long you'll take it, and how you'll measure progress. Okay, so again, you need to do your own research. If you're hearing about these things, get on PubMed, get online, start reading about what these different things do. If you're just starting one blindly and you don't have a clear understanding of its mechanism of action and what it does, then you're probably going to be disappointed in the outcome. I'll give you an example. Motsy is a really popular one right now. It happens to be one of my favorites. But when you get online and you start listening to Instagram and TikTok reels and all the things, what it's going to tell you is that it's weight loss peptide. And I wouldn't personally consider Motsy a weight loss peptide. If you get on it to lose weight, I think you might be disappointed. If you are on a GLP to lose weight and you pair a Motsy in there, Motsy is for mitochondrial support and health and energy. And yes, it's considered an exercise mimetic, so it makes your body react in a way as if you were exercising. So in theory, it can help you burn calories at a faster rate. And then that in turn would help with weight loss. But if you're taking it strictly for weight loss, I think you're going to be very disappointed because it's not going to help with appetite control. In fact, in some cases, it could actually increase your appetite if it's raising your metabolic rate. And if you're not changing your lifestyle and your diet in accordance with what your goal is, then this peptide is not going to give you the response that you want. If you're taking it because you want a boost of energy, you want to support your mitochondrial health for longevity, you want to get that extra bonus with your workouts because it's going to improve them and help you work out harder, then Motsy would be a great choice. But my point in all this is that you need to have a clear goal and you need to understand what the peptide does so you won't be disappointed in the result. All right? That's a big mistake that I see people make. Another one is choosing the wrong stack. This is a big one. Stacks are all the rage right now in peptides. I'm a huge believer in them. But not all peptides are created equal. Some are metabolic, some are regenerative, some are neuroprotective. Hey guys, quick break to tell you about something I'm really, really excited about. I started DePeptique to bring you the highest purity research peptides that are 99% purity or better and are tested and verified. Every single product on our website has a third-party COA listed, so you know exactly what you're getting. From fat loss to muscle recovery to skin rejuvenation, we've got you covered. And because you're part of this community, you get an exclusive discount of 10% off with the code VIP10. You can easily access the website and this code in the show notes. Now let's get back to the episode. Can't just stack 5 random peptides together and expect a miracle. You need to understand what they do and how they interact with each other. And originally I thought about expanding on this, but it gets super complicated with what stacks work and what stacks don't. So for the purposes of this episode, I just want to leave this as a basic thing as you're getting started. Be very careful about what you stack together. One example that I can give you is the growth hormones. Yes, you can layer some of them together, like Ipamorelin and CJC1295 work beautifully together. But if you start overstacking that with a Tessamorelin or like a GHRP or MK677, if you start stacking all those together, you're going to overstimulate growth hormones and you're going to get desensitization to it and build up antibodies to it, and it's going to backfire on you and you're not going to get the results you want. Another one you'd want to be careful with is stacking, say, like Retatrutide. If you already have really great appetite control with that or any of the GLP ones, with something like Tesofensine. Can you use those together? Yes, but they need to be in the appropriate amount. And so I would say Retatrutide if you want improved insulin sensitivity, okay? But if you're pairing Tesofensine with it and you're already getting a lot of appetite control, it can suppress your appetite too much. So you want to be careful about those. Again, it's not that you can't pair these together, but these are the ones that start interacting and causing problems, but you hear about them and you have this I want to do it all mentality, but you have to be careful with this. On the contrary, there are some that work beautifully together. Again, I'm just going to go over a couple of the ones that I love. The Glow Stack, the GHKCU, the BPC-157, and the TB-500. Those work synergistically beautifully together to really help rebuild your skin elasticity, skin strength, collagen, all the beautiful things we want as we age. That works great. So the AOD9604 and 5-Amino-1-MQ is a stack that I just finished that I absolutely love. I plan on doing an episode on that. And why these work beautifully together is the AOD targets fat breakdown, okay, while the 5-Amino blocks fat accumulation and boosts your energy metabolism. So you can imagine the synergistic effects you're going to get when you pair those two together. So again, you don't want to just stack a whole bunch of these together and not have a clear understanding of what they do. And you don't want to overwhelm your system with too much. Just some general rules for stacking, since this seems to be the rage right now. And look, let me say, I'm a huge fan of stacking peptides, but I did not start out that way. You start with one. You see how your body responds to that one. And then you try a different one and see how your body responds to that one. Because if you start out of the gate with multiple peptides, you don't know how your body's responding to each one. So for example, the first time I did a growth hormone secretagogue, I did ipamorelin on its own. So I knew exactly how my body responded to that. The second time I added in the ipamorelin with the CJC1295, I had a bad reaction to that. I'm one of those random, strange people that has a histamine response to the CJC1295. So now I know I can take ipamorelin and get the result that I want, because it definitely did help me put on some muscle mass, but the CJC1295 does not work for me. So you just need to be careful. So remember, start with a clear goal, first of all, and as you're stacking, make sure you understand what each peptide does. Start with one on its own and then begin to layer in so you can see how your body reacts to it. And then you have to rotate through these things so you don't get the receptor site burnout, all right? Another one, moving on, improper dosing. I know I get this question so many times. How do I dose this? Where do I dose this? Again, please do your own research. Here's the key to all of this. If you're out there and you're doing your own research and you start to see consistency among platforms, whether that's listening to me, someone else who talks about peptides that has a lot of experience, whether it's looking up PubMed research, whatever it is, when you start seeing consistency throughout the data, that's how you know you are on the right track. Don't just take my word for it. Go out there and do your own due diligence. This is very bio-individual to every person, okay? And the thing that I see the most of is dosing too high. That's the biggest mistake I see people make, because you think, oh, if the little's good, a lot has to be better. And part of this is the psychology behind it, in the sense that some of these peptides, I'm just going to throw one out there, 5-amino-1-MQ. If you're doing that at what I would call the recommended dosing of 500 mcgs, and you reconstitute a 10 milligram vial with 2 milliliters of backwater, and you want a 500 mcg dose, you're going to pull that syringe to the 10 mark, 10 units. And you're thinking to yourself when you're looking at that's it, that little tiny bit is going to do all the things that I've read that it will do? And the answer is yes. That's the beautiful thing about peptides. You don't need a whole lot of it. But I think our mind tells us there's no way that little bit is going to do what I need it to do. And there's a lot of peptides like that. Melanotan's that way. The GHKCU, you pull to the 15 mark typically. It's one of the ones that is that way. But going bigger isn't always better. That's when you can start having problems with these peptides. So make sure you're doing your research. Look for consistency among the data. Don't overdo it. I'm a go big or go home girl, but you don't want to overdo it. Always start at the lower end of the dosing protocol, and then you can work your way up as you see how your body responds to some of the higher ends, depending on what your goal is. You also don't want to dose too low. I also see the opposite, where people have this fear factor. It says I need 500 mcgs, but I'm nervous about this. I'm only going to start with 250. Starting with 250 mcgs, let's just say in the 5-amino-1-MQ, is perfectly fine. I've done that with a couple of the peptides, like the PT-141. That one can cause nausea, and so I was really nervous the first time I tried to use it. And so I did a lower dose of it, didn't get any result from it. And then I realized, okay, I also didn't get any of these side effects. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to go up to the recommended dose. And then I was fine. So it's okay that you start slow, but know if you don't titrate up to at least the minimum dosing that you're researching on, then you're probably not going to get the result that you want. I will say on the flip side of that, things like the GLP-1s, those in particular, I think, work very different for different people at different dosages. Like, I have people that get to the 2 milligram mark on a retatrutide and they can stay there. They can drop 8 pounds like crazy and they can maintain there, and that's great. Then I have people that need to get up to 6 to 8 milligrams. Usually that tends to be where people top out. I'm not saying you can't go higher, you can, but I'm also a big fan of using the lowest effective dosing on these things. And so it's very bio-individual. So do start slow, but know if you're not getting the results, if you're staying within the range that you've researched that is recommended, you can go up to that higher end. 5-amino-1-MQ, for example, we just talked about 500 mcgs. The higher end of that dosing protocol would be 1,000 mcgs or 1 milligram. So towards the end of my cycle, this last time I did that, I did push up to those, to that 1,000 mcg, 1 milligram dose, because I knew the 500 mcg was safe for me. I was getting the results on it. And I thought, these last couple of weeks, I'm just going to push it and then I'm going to stop. So there's just some ideas about dosing. Okay. Poor reconstitution technique. To me, this is a no-brainer, but I can't tell you how many times people have said, can they just use purified water? The answer is no. The backwater has the right stuff in it to help it stabilize. Once you reconstitute it with the backwater, it's going to last longer and it's not going to degrade. You cannot mix these things with just your average purified water. 99% of the peptides that we use, backwater is perfect for that. There are a few peptides that require a different type of reconstitution solution. There are not very many of those. I'm not going to go into that today, but for all practical purposes, backwater is what you need to use. So just remember that. Also, this is the other thing that I get a lot of, and hear me when I say this. Do not ever shake a peptide when you reconstitute it. Gently swirl the vial. Do peptides feel overwhelming to you? Well, you're not alone. And if you're not sure where to start, then this is for you. I'm opening up just a few spots this month for a 30-minute one-on-one consult where I'll help you build a personalized peptide protocol based on your goals, whether that's fat loss, energy, skin rejuvenation, sleep, or muscle recovery. It's only $100, and by the end of our call, you'll know exactly what to take, how to dose it, and how to stack it. Plus, you'll get a special savings on your first order from The Peptique. I only offer a few of these consults each month, and they book up super fast. So if this sounds like what you need, check the email link in the show notes to reserve your spot. Let's get you started the right way, smart, safe, and backed by research. Now back to the show. Usually within a few seconds to less than a minute, it's going to dissolve completely if you gently swirl it. That's all it needs. Shaking it can disturb the compound and make it start to degrade. And you really need to be careful when you're reconstituting it not to shake it too much and just gently swirl it. NAD in particular is very sensitive to this. So just remember that. Not storing peptides properly. So here's the deal. Peptides need to be refrigerated. They can stay at room temperature in the lyophilized powder form for a certain amount of time. If you think in transport as they're getting mailed back and forth to places, that sort of thing, they're going to be fine. But when you get the peptide, just to preserve it, put it in the fridge. If you're not going to use it within 30 days, stick it in your freezer. Here's the other thing. Light degrades these peptides after they're reconstituted. So put them in a pouch or some sort of dark container. Even when you have them in the fridge or the freezer, think about how many times you're opening that refrigerator door every single day. Every single time light hits that peptide vial, it's contributing to the degradation of the peptide. And I'm just a rule Nazi when it comes to this thing, because these things are expensive and I want the potency of these to last as long as possible. I'm sure you will hear people say, oh, it's fine, just stick them in the fridge. I don't need to be in a dark place, blah, 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 whatever. I want to do the best practice and protect the potency and the purity of my peptides. So I'm going to always put them in the refrigerator. As soon as I get them, if I'm not using them within 30 days, I'm going to put them in my freezer. And either way, they're going to go into a dark pouch or a container so the light won't hit them. If you have reconstituted a peptide, the best practice is to use it within 30 days. Now, have I used things that have been reconstituted longer? Yes, there's nothing wrong with that. The potency does start to degrade over time, so just know that you may not be getting as potent or as big of an effect if it's been reconstituted and it hasn't been used within 30 days, but generally speaking, they're safe to use after 30 days. You just might not get the potency that you're wanting. The backwater, the rule is 28 to 30 days of first puncture. That's just to maintain its integrity. Have I used backwater longer than that? Of course, but just know the best practice is to use it within 28 to 30 days of first puncture. And you need to keep that refrigerated as well. Do not put the backwater in the freezer and do not put reconstituted peptides in the freezer, all right? Injecting the same site repeatedly. This is a mistake that I made in the beginning, and I'm a lean person. And so when we talk about where to inject peptides, the most common place is in the lower abdomen. You grab the belly fat, you inject there. If you're a super lean person, you're going to get bruised. It's going to happen. It's not that the injection hurts. It's just over time, you don't have as much fat in that area. You're going to hit more sensitive tissue and you're going to bruise. So the key is to move it around. Do I still give injections in my lower abdomen? All the time. But there are some peptides, for example, like the GlowStack or GHKACU, the viscosity of it's super thick. And so that one can cause a little nodule bumps and bruising more than others. So when I'm on that stack, I move that around. I move it to the outer thigh, the fatty saddlebag area. It's such a fun area. The upper buttocks back there, I bruise less there in general, and it's just not as visible if I'm in a swimsuit or something like that. And so move it around because you can also develop scar tissue if you're just injecting in the same place over and over again. The other thing is to massage the site. I usually count to 30 very firmly to try to prevent any of those little bumps from sticking around. It still happens, but that will help prevent it. One little pro tip here for the GlowStack, because it is so thick, and we're talking about injections right now, or sometimes after I load my syringe with the GlowStack, I'll add a little bit more of the backwater, like 10 units more, 10 to 15 units more. That'll help it liquefy some. And I found that helps prevent some of the bumps. When I do that, I have a specific vial of the backwater that I use just for that because some of that peptide might get into that vial and you don't want to cross-contaminate that with your other stuff. So that's just a little pro tip. Other thing I will tell you as far as syringes, you want to use a 31-gauge syringe, insulin syringe. People get confused about this because they think the bigger the gauge, the bigger the needle, and that's actually the opposite. The smaller the gauge, the larger the needle. 31-gauge is about as small as you can get, to my knowledge, with the insulin syringes. Sometimes you're going to bend the needle when you're injecting it into the little rubber center of the peptide vial. That's normal because these are so thin, but they also are the best to eliminate bruising. And these things don't hurt when you inject them. People have that idea it's going to hurt, but if you do the 31 gauge, you're really limiting the amount of pain that you might get from an injection. But I've done 29 gauge. I've done all of them. So if you're doing the sub-Q, the subcutaneous injections, get the 31 gauge. It's going to be the most comfortable use. Expecting instant results. We all want that instant gratification. I get it. I'm the same way. We live in that world, but peptides, most of them do not work overnight. Most take 4 to 12 weeks to really see measurable results depending on the goal. So you have to be consistent and patient. Now, there are a few exceptions to these. NAD plus, which actually is not a peptide, but it's one of the ones that, at least for me, the minute I took it, I felt it. Now, some people need to go up in dose before they start to feel it. And I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. Start with the lower dose. If you feel and you get great results on the lower dose, then you don't need to go up. But I've had a lot of people come to me recently and said, I took the NAD, didn't feel anything. Okay, let's titrate up a little bit. And so that's one of the ones that you normally do feel right away. But the GLP-1s, I have some people that within the first week, they're really feeling it. And then some people that it builds up over time, and we have to find that higher dosing in order for them to feel it and get the results. And that usually takes 4 to 6 weeks to figure that out for a lot of people. The Glow Stack is another one. That's one that I didn't start seeing the real results until I was into the 8 to 12 week time frame. Okay. I saw some minor changes in the first month, but then once I got past that is when the real change started to happen. Another one, the 5-Amino-1-MQ paired with the AOD9604. Now that's one that I felt like within the first couple of weeks, I could really tell a difference as far as leaning out. So that made me super excited because that one for me didn't take as long, but for my husband, it took longer. So just know you have to be patient with these things. You have to work out the right dosing protocol for yourself through all the research that you're going to do on your own after this podcast, right? So you can figure out what works for you. But be patient and know that you may have to adjust the dosing to get the results that you want. All right, overlooking the basics. This is a huge one, y'all. You can't out-peptide a poor lifestyle. You've heard me preach this from day one. If you're drinking every night, you're eating like trash, you're not sleeping, peptides will not save you. They enhance a healthy lifestyle. They do not replace it. Here's one exception I'm going to give you to that. The GLPs. The one thing I will tell you is when I was in the height of doing all my consultations, and I'm getting away from that because I'm getting too busy to do consultations anymore. But when I was doing it, I would have particularly women come to me so frustrated. Because they were trying all the right things. They were doing all the right things, but they just couldn't get their eating under control. They would be great for maybe a couple of days, maybe even a couple of weeks, but they weren't seeing the results. And then they would just fall off the wagon again as far as their nutrition was concerned. The beautiful thing about a GLP is it takes that food noise out. And then in turn, it helps people make the right healthy food choices. And you start seeing results quicker, and it makes you want to continue to make the right choices. So if you are on a GLP or you're wanting to start a GLP, know that they can help you in the beginning to get on track, but you have to continue to make the right lifestyle changes in order to get the full benefit and truly optimize your health. Okay, so let's just recap here for a minute. Let's talk about how to get started the right way. You need to set a clear goal of what it is that you want to target. You want to start with one peptide before you stack. And then after you've tried several different peptides that do certain things, you will start to learn which ones to stack together, which ones work synergistically together. But start with one and see how you respond. You want to dose low and titrate up. You don't want to go too high. You don't want to go too low. You want to find that sweet spot. You want to prioritize recovery and nutrition. And the one thing that I want to say that I didn't mention earlier is you want to source quality peptides. And yes, shameless plug here, I am an owner in the Peptique. And so I always want you to buy from the Peptique because I do know that we get all of our stuff third-party tested. We do not put anything into our inventory that isn't 99% or better purity. A lot of our peptides are 99.8, 99.9, but you're getting the top quality. We even test for endotoxins randomly to make sure the labs that we are sourcing from are using the right practices in their labs to prevent endotoxins from getting into any of these things. So you want to make sure that you are sourcing from a company that does all those things. You don't have to buy from the Peptique. There are lots of research peptide companies out there, but if you are going to buy from someone, make sure that they have those COAs on their website, easy to find, easy to look at, review them, and make sure that they have the batch numbers on there so you can track which batch you got to what COA is online. Okay, so you need to look at all these things and make sure that you're buying from a source that does all that. So peptides are these very powerful tools, but only if you know how to use them. So start simple, be consistent, stay educated, do your research, avoid some of these rookie mistakes that we talked about today, and you'll get the most out of them. I think that's it for today. I thought this was going to be short and sweet. It ended up being a lot longer than expected. per usual. If you like this podcast, if you like this episode, please share it, like it, give a review so I can keep doing this and providing hopefully what's valuable information to all of you. Go follow me on Instagram at westwellnessatx and at thepeptique. And for all of my listeners out there, use the code VIP10 and you can get 10% off all of your peptides at thepeptique.com. Okay? So that's it today. And until next time, y'all just have a blessed day.